This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are still hanging out with Ben. Mm-hmm. He even represented today with this shirt.
I did.
Whole healthy families are going to save the world.
Most comfortable shirt in the world.
It's gonna save the world. Yeah. It's gonna be the most comfortable shirt of the world. But we're still talking about our family culture and protecting culture, and we're actually wrapping up the series. This is our last one.
Here we go.
So I don't know what's gonna happen to you. Are you just gonna disappear after this?
You'll see me at home.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm just making sure.
I'll still be around.
Oh, great.
Probably wearing a shirt.
That's true. But we wanted to talk a little bit about what happens when your family culture is tested. Because everyone probably is looking at us going, yeah, sure, that's great. But what happens or if or all the things? And, you know, I think if we were to backtrack to when we first moved down to Sacramento, one of the moments of culture I remember is with Delaney. When that little girl in her class was getting bullied. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You guys probably don't remember that, but I'll tell you. She's in public school for the first time. And we hadn't put language to our culture, but it has been developed in them and shaped in different ways. We just didn't have a clear target. Well, this little girl was being bullied because she was speaking Spanish to her mom through the fence, and this other little girl came up and said something like, you sound like my cleaner. Is that what you are? Are you a cleaner? And Delaney steps forward and says, don't you talk to her like that. My auntie Yari, which Yari, if you're listening, we love you. She speaks Spanish and she's amazing and she speaks two languages. She's just going at this other little girl, teasing her. And but that's, you know, when I think about what we wrote, protecting people, you know, and that was on display before we even had this language. So it's funny, you know, when we clarified this language of who we are as a family, I can still go back and see where it was showing up. Mm-hmm. But we just got better at knowing how to say it.
I think one of the things as well that is not very popular, but it's very important, is when we identify either, you know, overtly, like write it down, everybody has a participation, everyone has an ownership, everyone is, you know, clear about this thing that we've said is us and how we do what we do, or it's more covert and it's just in each of us, but we don't ever really illustrate it or bring it out. What happens in a family or any group, really, of people that identify together is when somebody violates it on the inside.
Yeah.
You know, like somebody is disrespectful to their parent. The parent will snap a look and kind of give them a, are you sure you want to proceed past this moment right here? And that child will reconsider what they've done, what they just introduced to the relationship with that parent, and kind of nonverbally back away from the moment. And that is a practice of healthy shaming. Which I know is not a popular, because all we ever think about is toxic shaming, where there is a punishment involved. There's some kind of ridicule, humiliation, rejection, manipulation, domination, something that goes along with that. But within the context of healthy relationships, there will be a reaction to violating our family norms, our culture. And when people get that reaction from each other, they go, oh my gosh, that was too far. Oh my gosh, that was too soon. Oh my gosh, that was not enough. Oh my gosh, I need to adjust to protect my relationships with everyone in this family. And that is essential, that it is an accountability, that it is it's consistent across the board. Everybody's getting it. If a parent comes down too hard in a moment and that child looks at that parent, right there is a healthy shaming, like, you are breaking our connection. You are breaking my heart. And that parent backs up and goes, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it that way. I shouldn't have said it at that volume. I was teasing and I made a mistake. I'm sorry. That hurt you. I could tell. That begins to bounce around inside of a healthy family structure, a healthy relational structure, is there is an indication when my behavior is damaging our connection. And I have an opportunity to repent, to adjust. I'm sorry. Okay. My bad. Shouldn't have done that. Can I get a do-over, please? However.
How do we not let that shame, because the toxic versus healthy shame, like, how do you make sure that shame doesn't become part of who they believe that they are? Because that they did something bad, how do we... Just to clarify, because I think you threw the shame word out there and everyone's like, whoa, what does that mean? Yeah. How do you clarify that we're not wanting the child to identify as a shameful person?
Yeah, I think that when we get hypersensitive to the word shame, we generalize it to punishment, to control, to establishing a bad guy. And that, that is very much to be called out and to be dealt with. And it kind of ekes into our modern psychology, if you will, through all the work that we've done with addicts and all the toxic shame that was prevalent in an unhealthy family culture system, where you punish to control, you humiliate to control, you reject to control. So everything is a lie. All the rebukes and all the responses from the powerful people is a lie, which means I'm upset and you're to blame. Mm-hmm. I am unhappy and you're to blame. I am unsuccessful and you're to blame. I feel bad about myself and you're to blame. So there's the toxicity that is flowing into the relationship, and that the recipient interprets all this responsibility as true, and it's all a lie. I'm not responsible for any of that in your life. Yeah. You are, yeah. and you screwed it up, and now you're screwing me up. Mm-hmm. So that's a totally different dynamic and different subject than you're accountable to the same standards as I am in an effort to protect our connections and the quality of life being a part of this group.
Right. I just thought we should.
Excellent question. Yeah, because it's a trigger. I thought I would lead with that just for the fun of it, and kind of just when something happens in the chicken coop, you're like, I just threw a big old.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to help clarify the goal that we're not trying to have children walk around feeling shameful.
But yeah. I think what I heard you say is that the strength of the connection is what makes healthy shame possible, mm-hmm. and productive.
Mm-hmm.
Is
absolutely
is the because when you look at my eyes and believe that I love you and I'm for you, that hard look or that standard moment, standard setting moment we had, it's receivable because there's connection.
Mm-hmm. In the context of our relationship with the Lord, it's called conviction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
There you go.
You know, so when you
just made all the Christians say that again. I just want you to know that.
Church word. Yeah. Well, it's true. I mean, the Holy Spirit's job is to sensitize me to how my behavior is affecting my Father's heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And whoa, that Holy Spirit grief or quench. Like we got one job, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, love is basically the theme there. And there's two sub-points to that. You know, do not quench or grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't break his heart and don't disconnect. And the Holy Spirit is there to keep me tender to those effects of my behavior, because sometimes I think I'm free, I can do whatever I want. Well, you can pretty much do whatever you want. You got two things to pay attention to, though. How is your life and behavior affecting the heart of your Father? Because when we lose that, we have what's going on in society today.
Yeah,
nobody cares about how the Father's heart's being affected, because nobody has that goal of staying connected to our loving Father. That would fix the planet right there. If we could get just a revival around people paying attention to how their lives affect God and adjusting appropriately through healthy shame, conviction, we'd fix this planet in a day.
Yeah. Conviction is such a self-governed thing these days. I am my own conviction. That's what I feel like the problem is that it's not the Lord's conviction. It's just my own. But we've kind of strayed a little bit from where our topic was, but that's all right. You know,
well, it does feel very
internal. It is internal.
Yeah. You know, when you were first talking earlier on, when you first said the word shame, we're all I was thinking about culture in a family, and there's different things you're describing about culture and different groups. But for children especially, it really feels, culture feels caught and taught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so as parents, we are leading the culture. We are giving away. We are describing it. We are giving that look that helps reset the standard. But as well, they're watching so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we hear these stories about Delaney and just his, I mean, there was a testimony in the last episode we did, this mom sharing where her child is now acting the way she has been acting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure she told her that other than her behavior. It wasn't words that she sat her down and said, this is what we do.
Right.
She just picked this thing up. So it just feels like we're just paying such close attention, which really brings back, I think, this point about conviction or healthy shame.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels so important that I'm doing a good job here so I can put on display and teach from the right heart. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, it's fun when the internal process happens. I mean, Adeline is 13, and in the last month, she's been asked out like 3 times, and it's kind of funny because all of a sudden here she is getting junior high, 7th grade, and all the different little groups are starting to happen, and when they ask each other out, which is kind of, it's just comical. I mean, we can look at this now. In the moment, I know it feels really big. But what's crazy is that she watched us walk through so much with her sister, and she's wired very differently. But, you know, she has this boy that, you know, she thought was cute that we met at our school retreat and all these things. But then she started noticing these behaviors that this boy has that are not super desirable for her, that feel like this is not our culture. This is not what I want to bring into this culture. This would not go well, you know. And this boy asks her out in this funny way. And I remember getting home and she wanted to come and talk to me about the whole exchange, which she has, you know, she's processing all of this what do I say? How do I respond? What do I need? All on her own, because I was at work, and I think she invited, she actually went to Delaney and said, what do I say? What do I need to do? But it's just this, she's built up this thing internally that I don't want to compromise. Mm-hmm. I want to protect. I want as a priority. And so because of that internal, she's gone and invited somebody in. And, you know, it's absolutely hilarious listening to two girls talk about boys. I didn't grow up with this. I had brothers, so we didn't really do any of this. But it's pretty, Mom and I were laughing so hard on our way to the mall the other day with these girls talking about this. But I just have high value that watching her sister not necessarily do a good job at one season in her life and then restoring that with us and fight really hard in another season, Adeline's like, okay, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm going to choose to protect right now. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, it's been a funny little journey. I think she even said that he had to text you.
Yeah, I think towards the end of the exchange, I mean, she's essentially saying, what you're giving out, I don't want.
Yeah.
In a kind way.
I'm not sure if this is the same one or not, but my favorite line from Addie was, will you want to go out with me? And she said something to the effect of, I saw your text. I saw the way you talk to girls. Get away from me.
Pretty much.
Get behind me, Satan.
Pretty much.
She didn't say it that way, but I mean, it's like.
Well, she confronted him on hearing that he was kissing a bunch of girls
and dating different girls
and different things, and he's like, "Yeah." So she was like, "Yeah, no, I'm not interested."
Not interested.
But I've told my girls for years, and Delaney first because she's the oldest and has practiced more. But I've told them if a boy asks for your number, just give him mine, give him my phone number. Mm. And so when Adeline's going through this whole text exchange, Delaney just finally says, if he wants your number, just give him dad's number. Yeah. You know what to do.
Yeah.
It was funny.
But it is fun to watch the, they were reporting to me of what they took care of. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they took care of our culture, and she's showing me all the texts, and, you know, she's proud of herself. And look what I protected today, Mom. Like, mm-hmm. look what I chose to fight for. But she's not saying that word, but that is, there's a sense of pride in what she felt like she held her part of the gate that she, her watch.
And this is identity formation right here. She's entering those years and she is now saying, look at who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to see who I am by the forces that are pushing against me. And when I push back, what pushes back is who I am. I respect this about myself.
Yeah, it is. There's been lots of little moments lately. Another situation that came, Lincoln and Delaney and I were all at his Taekwondo, and it was great. You know, he's going to start teaching tonight, which means he has to go to the white belts, which is the lowest level. Or I guess it's not the lowest level, but it's the first official lower level of his age group. And he's going to be help teaching because he's black belt, which is super fun for him. But we're there, and we're waiting to talk to his instructor. And we're kind of against the wall, and there's another dad there that's waiting. He's growing in irritation because his kid's not coming out fast enough. And we're just all standing there just waiting, and I can see this man's face. It's the same thing you're talking about, but it feels like it is
toxic. Pure,
it is very toxic. Yeah, it's just filled with punishment, irritation, disrespect, and it's growing. I mean, you can feel it off of his body, and we're just all standing there. And soon enough, he says something, and he ends up going over to his kid, and I can just see him. And so it was me, Lincoln, and Lainey can just see him in this little cubby, and he grabs his kid by the ear, and it's just pulling his ear, and he's just whispering loudly in his ear. And I'm looking at both the kid's face, and Lincoln is just heartbroken, and Delaney is pissed. She's very much like her mama in that sense, and disgusted. And then I can only make out that he said something like, I told you, I couldn't really hear anything. And then he ends up making his kid do push-ups in this room where the shoes are. And then he holds his kid's head and and is making them like do a better form, but it's just, there's just so much extreme
control,
disrespect,
yeah,
painful exchange and humiliation for this child. Mm-hmm. You know, they're kind of off to the side, but you can still, most people can see them.
Yeah. So this isn't shame. This is punishment.
Totally.
You know, this
absolutely.
Dad is what he's doing in public.
Right.
You can only imagine what happens behind the scene when he's unaccountable.
Yeah.
He's surrounded by adults, black belts, you know, and this is his best. He's on his best behavior,
yeah,
right here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is all about punishment.
Yeah.
That's toxic shame.
And Lainey said exactly that thing when we got in the car. She says, if he's doing this in public, I don't have any idea what he's doing to the kid when he's alone. Yeah. And Lincoln said, maybe this is why they're so angry when they spar, talking about the kid. And I said, yeah. Or maybe why they're so mean. And I said, yeah, it could be why. But to watch my kids see the level of just violating somebody's, just a person, like, mm-hmm, it was just, mm-hmm, in plain sight that this was acceptable. They were both kind of in shock when we got in the car. Like, this is a normal experience. I'm like, yeah, this can be a really normal experience. And you've never had anything close to this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just heartbreaking at the same time, but they were also, you know, I said, can you imagine if Daddy acted that way? And Lincoln said, I would cry all the time. You know, like, and it was just heartbreaking to hear that, yes, you would cry all the time, and just to know that, you know, obviously if anyone was probably going to do it, it'd be me. I'm angry more than you are, but, you know, I'll admit that.
We all have potential to be toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, it was a great display for the kids of, I'm so grateful and I don't ever want.
And yet our kids have got to learn to be strong.
Sure.
You know, and not a bunch of wimps, because somebody's going to take care of their little tender safetiness all the time.
Sure.
So a lot of these kids come out of these situations angry and,
yep,
ready to fight, but they turn it into strength to command justice, to command a change, to require something. I mean, it's triggering me a little bit here, because I'm like, oh, you know what? I got a whole bunch of this in my life.
Sure.
And here's how it's been funneled. It's been funneled to create a different, mm-hmm, opportunity for kids. But, mm-hmm, the same thing happens is if our kids don't learn to fight, mm-hmm, for protecting what they have, then they'll go find one of those people that they try to make happy.
Yeah.
And that person will eat them.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, those happen for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, because our kids have no skills to punch them in the nose, punch them in the throat, back them up. You know, like, no. So a big chunk of what we're teaching our kids is how to set boundaries,
mm-hmm,
how to manage themselves no matter what other people do, because that takes courage. And that's a way of fighting.
Yeah.
A way of fighting is to say,
I don't want
to. I watch the way, yeah, you treat these other girls. I saw,
right,
your text.
Yeah.
Get behind me. Say, you know,
exactly.
Take a walk. I mean, that's the balance. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you just end up, you know, raising bubble gum that other, yeah, people will chew.
Yeah, that's an analogy. And it is.
You say these powerful things. With these analogies, I'm like,
bubblegum.
I get it. I'm just stuck on the
bubblegum. Thank bubble you, gum. Bubble Yum for your sponsorship.
Don't get chewed up.
No.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, that's
good.
You know, Delaney is our compassionate, tenderhearted. And I was on a rant the other day. She thought it was really funny about, do not settle for someone just because you think, you know, because this compassionate thing that you have, you are great. You know, she was smiling her awkward smile that she keep doing it. Don't stop. But don't. I don't want to act like I love it. Moments in the car. But, you know, she had to go through this a little bit with a relationship she was in. Was somebody's big culture coming rolling in, and she's trying to figure out, okay, this is my, I'm, you know, adaptability's on her strength, and she's super compassionate. She is just this kind hearted, I want you to feel safe, I want you to feel seen. And somebody that's a bulldozer is like, okay, great, now move or be crushed. And I think that's what she was experiencing, is like, I feel like I'm being suffocated. This isn't a very, you know, and her setting a boundary compared to Adeline setting a boundary takes a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. This is the difference between the two of them. But she got there and she set a boundary and she ultimately figured out what I wasn't willing to compromise mm-hmm. was this thing that I love more than anything, which is my family. Mm-hmm. And my whole family is experiencing this person's culture as not pleasant. And I'm the one that let them in. Mm. What am I going to do? And it's a hard struggle, but I think, you know, it's a reference point that it was a victory, you know, that she's got to keep in front of her. Because I think, again, it's just going to look different between her and Adeline. Adeline's like, I don't, get out of the way. You're in the way. I don't, they're just, it's just all the children come out different. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, that was an interesting one. But it was another, oh, I let this in and this is, nobody's having any fun. Mm-hmm. What am I going to do?
And that's kind of an external, internal. Mm-hmm. Like there's this external experience and then the internal healthy shame goes off. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's like, and she's going, okay, this response from what I've introduced is good information for me.
Yeah.
That I trust. I trust this information coming from her whole community, our LOP staff, our family. Everybody's like, what?
The chickens were going on.
Yeah. And she says, huh, okay, these are all indications to me that there is trouble ahead. I'll adjust. I have to make one decision instead of all these. I have to take on all these relationships. No.
Yeah.
I trust these people. Yeah. Their strength to my life. That is a healthy culture. A healthy culture polices itself, mm-hmm. and we get to make adjustments because we're going to stay connected to those most important relationships.
Yeah.
You know, even though this shiny thing out here is calling my name and, mm-hmm. you know, feels really good, but this, believe it or not, actually feels better.
Yeah. It's true.
I watched Lincoln recently. Just do some of this. Just the internal culture protection practice. We're actually chopping wood the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Danny and I were outside getting all hot and sweaty, and that sounds weird, but we were.
Didn't until I wasn't you said there. That. Yeah, I was going to pass it there, up.
But
I wasn't
so was I. Sure it was so great. But it was right there.
And there you go.
Someone else heard it. Oh. Like that was weird. But I was. We were tired, man. We were working hard out there on that wood. Chopping, I mean, we had a bunch of stuff going on, right?
Yeah.
The splitter and the whole thing. So Lincoln gets out there with us, and he probably spent about an hour. And I'm like, he has a little bit left in him. We probably spent 3 or 4 hours out there.
Yeah.
He has a little bit left in him, and he's just mad because he's like, this is hard work. I'm having a hard time.
I'm 10.
I'm 10, totally.
Yeah.
And so I was trying to find that balance, right? But in our culture creed, one of the lines is we try our best.
Uh-huh.
And so... I told him at one point, he's like, Dad, can I go? Dad, can I go? Dad, can I go? I said, Lincoln, I need 30 more minutes from you. That's all I need, buddy. I need 30 more minutes. So if you can find that, that'd be awesome. So he left for a little bit. And I knew what was happening. It is his internal world. He's talking to him. Mm-hmm. He's trying to figure out, what am I going to do? And so he went inside. He did something inside. And he came back out. He had changed his shoes and took his pants off and got shorts on. And,
shorts and tennis shoes.
Yeah, which
perfect
is so funny.
Perfect for woodcutting.
Because we're splitting oak, and yeah. So this is going to work out well.
For you.
I'm about to learn a lesson.
Exactly, which he did.
He did.
Oh, I missed that.
Oh, yeah.
It was just this fun moment to watch him, because I'm like, I can't control you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could tell you have to be at here and or else or whatever, which, you know, there's moments for that, like there's consequence for not contributing. But I let that thing go inside of him, and he worked it out, and he showed up, and we talked later. I said, doesn't it feel good to finish well and do some hard work? He's like, it does. I'm tired. I said, me too, man. I'm really tired. But
while we're standing out there, he's, you know, a piece of oak rolled down his ankle, yep. You know, and he's like, oh, and I said, hey, dude, you just learned the lesson of why we wear boots out here.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Give me 5. That's
he's
fun.
Like,
he's like,
<"Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha
I'm bleeding.
And then he disappears and he comes back with his boots.
Yeah.
He's a genius. He's a
smart kid. He did come in. I saw him at one point. He said, I'm still working, Mom, but I had to go pee. I'm like, okay. He goes, can you make me one of those amazing smoothies? That was
his oh, yeah.
Sustenance.
I need sustenance.
He's the youngest.
Did you remember the ingredients to that amazing smoothie? And I was laughing. I'm like, that strawberry banana smoothie with yogurt. Yeah, I think I got it logged away. But he is the youngest child. That's funny. Well, I love that they are, I mean, fighting for our culture on their own, which is just the proof that they have bought into this culture is their culture. Yeah. And that, you know, we have a strong family culture because it's not just us harping on them all the time. You know, you got to be this, you got to be this, go do this, do this. It's a, we live it and model it and they are following that. Yep. And that's what it is over and over again, internally, externally, which is, you know, that's this culture that we're fighting for. It's available to everybody. It just has to be your own. Well, that's the biggest thing I have is it has to be your own culture. You cannot go and try and dip yourself and roll around and come out as a silk circle. It's not going to work. You're going to be frustrated in the process. And I think that's, you know, we're doing this family culture or culture creed challenge. And the whole thing here is help you find who you are so that you walk out on the other side going, I can actually accomplish this. I can actually make this happen. This can be who we are because we created, you know, who God called us to be. And we've got this culture creed that we're saying that is 100% us. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're going to display what doing hard things looks like differently than what we do. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have goats and pigs and oak to chop, you know, it looks different. You're going to have a different ministry of loving people than, or an expression than maybe we do. And I think that's what you've got to find how you do this. I mean, we're not a sports family. If you're a sports family, I think of the Zamoras, you know, they're tackling how to love people and influence people in their culture. And it looks very different than us. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful because it's lining up with who God says that you are. And that's this culture creed challenge that we're doing is really trying to help you discover that and do this. And obviously this whole, I don't know, six series, how many times are we doing? 6 weeks? I'm looking at my team. Yes. Okay, great. So the culturecreedchallenge.com is where you'd find out more information if you want to join us for that. It's coming up, but it should be fun. But it's been really fun talking about just our family culture and the mm-hmm. value of it. This whole time I've enjoyed it.
Always good reminders.
Yeah, for sure.
It's even more fun to live there.
Sure. I bet. Yep. Our children. It's our children. All of ours at the stable. They're ours.
My kids.
our father. Our in heaven.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go over to questions and we'll see you in just a minute. All right. Well, we are going to jump into our question and testimony spots. Again, we talked too long, so we only have space for one, but I'm sure it'll be great. If you want to submit a question or a testimony, go to thekyloshow.com and there you can record your own question. So today's question comes to us from McKinley.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for everything you do. This has been very valuable for me and for my family. I do have a question. I'm in a couple of relational environments where they used to be in closer levels of intimacy, but now I realize they're not the most healthy or trustworthy places. How do I give them less access to my heart and life without punishing them? This is something that I've not quite understood, and it seems to contradict each other to not punish while still giving less access to my heart. But I do think there's a way to do it. So what are your thoughts on this, on how to do this well, still loving them, but also not compromising? Thoughts?
It's hard. It's hard to, you know, set a boundary with somebody that is hurting you or scaring you or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that you have to have that conversation. Like, this I'm not enjoying this. Mm-hmm. I feel powerless. I feel scared. I feel hurt. One of those would be a good way to start. And then the reaction or the response or the adjustment or lack of adjustment, that's what leads to now you understand why I act like this in our relationship. I shared some stuff with you. You justified yourself as though there's some really great reason that you should be hurting me on occasion. And when I adjust and change the axis of intimacy in the relationship, now you know why. Hmm. And there is opportunity for another conversation to get it back, but it's going to require that the hurt, the fear, the powerlessness goes away. Because yeah. I don't enjoy relationships where I have a steady diet of those three things.
Yeah, it's telling the truth, which is, I'm not sure you understand how scared I am to tell you something about what's going on inside of me. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, why would you be afraid? My experience is I'm not being protected, mm-hmm. and I don't know what to do except for to limit what I share with you.
Well, I was just joking. Well, your jokes are really hurting me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. So you're just really sensitive. That's no fun either. Mm-hmm. I need you to hear me when I talk. I don't need you to justify yourself.
Yeah.
Or this relationship's going to change. Because mm-hmm. I'm not having any fun. And those are heavy conversations, but it's truthing. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm not telling you about you. I'm not saying that you're a bad person or that you're a bad friend or whatever. I'm saying, ouch, mm-hmm. and yikes. And all I need is some adjustment over there, and we're going to be great. It doesn't mean I don't have a sense of humor. It just means that your passive-aggressive digs are leaving marks. Mm-hmm. And if you have something you need to talk to me about, that's great. Let's do that. But just humiliating me or punishing me with your passive-aggressive stuff, I'm all done. Yeah. I don't actually have any close people who treat me like this.
Yeah. I would even wonder if she's had some of those conversations. Or a different scenario, but we just had those kind of conversations and it hasn't adjusted. It's just like, well, I had the conversation. Now what? Isn't it supposed to adjust?
Yeah, change? Well, step one is have those conversations, mm-hmm. right? Because sure. some people adjust without those conversations and call it a boundary. Like, no, that's why you feel like you're rejecting somebody or punishing them because you didn't have that courageous confrontation yeah. up front. And until you do, it's a mystery why you don't return my text or why you don't come to that Saturday thing or you don't want to hang out. You're always busy now. Mm-hmm. You're always busy. Like, oh, well, that would be confusing. Like, okay, I'm confused at your behavior instead of I understand why you're behaving that way.
Yeah. Hard stuff, hard conversations, but I think telling the truth necessary. Up front and being willing to have those conversations before you set a boundary. Otherwise, it is punishment. Mm-hmm. I think that's the confusion part is that there's you just cut them off and that is punishment. So mm-hmm. good communication and then a boundary and adjustment when they go, I feel like you're punishing me. Like I feel like I communicated what I need and I was met with no desire adjustment. Or yeah. adjustment to repair this. So I don't know. I'm not trying to be punishing. I think I am. I'm scared. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you stepped on my foot and I said, ouch, and you left your foot there, I'd give you a little shove. I'd give you a little shove and I'd move my foot. And then yeah. when you walk towards me, I'd move my feet.
Yeah.
I'll take care of my feet because I don't think you're going to.
Yep.
So ouch is an opportunity to make an adjustment.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. Great question, McKinley. Thanks for submitting that. And we're going to jump into the testimony now. Today's testimony comes to us from Anna.
Just wanted to share with you guys a very fresh testimony. I actually recorded it a few minutes ago, and then the recording said that there was an error. So here I am again. I'll try to keep it as direct as possible. Basically, I've been pretty on fire for these Kylo principles that we've been learning and trying to make use of them in my life. And I had a coworker come up to me this morning and said she wanted to talk to me. And for a split second, I was thinking, oh gosh, what did I do? Did I offend her or say something stupid or out of pocket? And she said, no, I just wanted to thank you for yesterday. And she said, I was really grateful to hear you bring up faith in the workplace. And I was like, oh, okay, that's great. I'm like, I do it all the time. And she was like, you do? And I said, yeah. She was like, oh, okay, that's good. We really needed that. And she said, what she was referencing was yesterday I came in for the start of my shift, and I'm guessing it was Holy Spirit prompting because it just started literally coming out of my mouth. I started talking about, you know, we're only going to be present in as many disrespectful conversations as we choose to engage in, and how when you're a powerful person, you set up boundaries and, you know, give yourself permission to walk away in those instances, or you tell the person, like, this is my expectation, and when you can keep the conversation respectful, then I'll participate, etc. And I don't know, I kind of just kept going, and I felt like maybe it was going to help in some other areas where I knew a specific coworker was having some struggles, or I don't even know why I was saying it, but in any words, I was just really sharing, and they were listening, and she had asked me at that time when I shared, like, and where did you hear this? And I said, oh, a pastor that I follow. And she was like, okay. I'm like, yeah, it's just been so good to learn these things and hear. And I'm like, you know, whenever you learn something that you love, you want to share it with other people, right? And so I just kind of gave some analogies and we were laughing, whatever. And she said, the reason I wanted to thank you is because you don't know what was happening right before you walked into the unit. She said they were watching a show that was totally inappropriate. She was referencing the other nurses and staff, and she said it made me feel uncomfortable, and she said it was really disrespectful to women. It was basically prostitution, and she said it was even disrespectful to guys, and she's like, I wanted to say something, but I didn't know what to say, and it just was, like, so uncomfortable. I didn't know what to do. She kind of felt stuck in the moment, and she said, and then you walked in, and she said, when you walked through the door, they said, oh, she's not going to like this. And then I started bringing up that conversation. So she said the timing was, like, perfect. And she said it's just what we needed at that moment. So I just wanted to thank you. And she's like, it taught me something, and it gave me, you know, idea of what to do in that moment and how to handle that conversation. Because she's like, I genuinely didn't know what to do. So she just said, I wanted to thank you. And it really caught me off guard, but blessed me to know that, like, when we take an opportunity, an invitation from Father or Holy Spirit, and we just choose to roll with it instead of questioning it, and we take ourselves out of the equation, we're so freely able to give to others and share. And I'm just blessed to be learning these principles now, slightly saddened that I couldn't have, you know, used them for the last decade, but super grateful for the trajectory of where they're going to take myself and my family moving forward. Thanks. Blessings. Peace out.
Peace out.
Peace out.
Super cool.
It's awesome.
Honest, creating a culture that everyone is respecting. Noticing. Just like, there's my boundaries, guys.
How fun is it to have somebody express healthy relationship culture and have somebody say, thank you for sharing your faith.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, religion is now being mixed up with healthy boundaries and somebody controlling themselves instead of judging the skin off of everybody in the vicinity.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's a great testimony.
That's a great testimony.
Well done.
Yep. She sounds like she's got the wording down, and just, I mean, how she was delivering it sounds like she should go to the Kylo community.
Totally.
I think she's already in there.
Okay. Well,
is
there
she?
You go. Yeah. Ben knows everyone that's in the Kylo community.
Awesome. We have so many partners these days just joining together in this Kylo community. Mm-hmm. It's very
stirring it up in there. It's fun.
Yeah.
I think I might know who Anna is now. I think last Kylo community, she was napping before her shift.
That's right.
I think I remember seeing her in there. But it is great. It's the fact that...
Oh, I remember, Anna.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, you remember.
Okay.
But knowing that, you know, you're going into an environment and just boldly being, you know, who you want to be and who you feel like God's called you to be, and, you know, that... It's not criticism or preaching down somebody's throat. It's let me tell you how to live where you enjoy your life.
And self-controlled.
Exactly.
I'm just going to be self-controlled in front of you instead of acquiesce to the pressures of all the scared people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not very fun when you live a certain way at home,
yeah,
or at church, and then you go to work and you're a different person. So
because you're scared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
You're scared to be yourself. Yeah. I'm not trying to get you to be myself. I'm trying to get me to be myself.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go. That authenticity is so credible. Mm-hmm. It builds so much credibility if you just be the same person everywhere you go.
Come on.
And it gives you moral authority. And other people are inspired by it. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous that we sell our soul to self-preservation.
Yeah.
In social environments, and it's probably more wicked today than, well, any time in my lifetime. I like to say ever, but I haven't been together. I haven't been here forever. You know? I mean, I feel like I have, but I haven't been here forever.
Your beard is not white enough to even come
to be
close
forever.
To
uh-huh. Yeah,
yeah.
And they've invented scissors since those days.
Oh yeah,
you can keep trimming it down so it's not.
It's not to your knees.
It's all hanging down my
knees. Well, it was a great testimony, Anna. Yeah. Thank you so much for being a light in the darkness and really fighting for what whole and healthy looks like, and giving that confidence away to others. We love that. So thanks so much for joining us on The Kylo Show, and we will see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.